When I worked at we're going to Charlie's 80th birthday party. When I worked up at the camp, there was a never-ending battle. And that was the battle to cut down trees and make firewood. And I know many of you guys have that constant battle, and that's something that you're doing. But I always thought, and I've told many people this, I always thought it was Charlie's goal to cut down every tree in Broome County. I thought that was his goal, and I thought that was his agenda, and it seemed like we'd get one part of the woods cut down for firewood and or for logs for some project that he would think of, and then he'd say, oh, wouldn't it be nice if we could clear that section of woods over there and I could just see what we could do? That was what he's constantly saying. He'd call me up and call me down and say, let's go over there and we could cut down and we could do something. Okay, Charlie. All right, I thought there's the next 3 years of cutting down trees and everything. And usually that's about the way it happened. And but anyways, we did a lot of cutting down trees. When we cut down those trees, what happened usually, quite often, we'd get one cut down and we'd be cutting it up. Charlie get into it, or my dad, or Fred down here, and they'd get the chainsaw stuck. Well, I did that a few times, too. But usually when that happened, the first thing they did was, Scott, got the chainsaw stuck. I have to run over to try. And when I was young, I know you're thinking, you're still young, but when I was really young, I thought to myself, okay, I'll just pick that tree up. Sometimes that worked, but usually not, when it pinched that saw. And so what we'd do is we'd usually get a fulcrum and a lever, and we try to lift that tree up. You know what I'm saying? Many of you have been there. You know exactly what I'm talking about and how that works. And so right now in science class, I'm teaching kids, and I'm saying to them, the work that you do, if you use a simple machine, like a lever and a fulcrum, is the same kind of work you do if you just try and do it without a simple machine. You never get more work out than what you put in. And I'm trying to teach them the distance principle and how we can use simple machines to help us with that. Whether that be a wedge, an inclined plane, a lever. Then we learn we learn neat things in class, like that God made our body with all sorts of simple machines. Our joints are simple machines, they're levers. And most of them are third class levers, like our arms and our legs. Then God gave us that foot. Foot's an amazing thing. Works as a second class lever and a first class lever. And it keeps us upright, keeps us moving. And it's pretty awesome what the things that God has allowed us to do. But there's the ramp. The ramp is pretty neat. We could think about moving a piano. And maybe we want to put the piano up here on the stage. Many of us have thought, okay, we can just get enough guys and lift it. We've done that. But there comes a time where that doesn't sound so fun. Am I right? There comes a time where picking up a piano 4 feet in the air just doesn't sound like what you want to do. And so you build a ramp to get it up there. You do the same amount of work. Work and energy, words that are closely related to each other. But do you do the same amount of work as lifting it as you would if you put it up in an inclined plane? Same amount of work. Takes the same amount of work to get it up there. But you got to move it a farther distance with that inclined plane. In our life, there are a lot of things that we face that seem like difficult tasks. Sometimes we get the chainsaw stuck, and it's a pain in the neck. Sometimes we are working on a car, and we got a bolt that just won't come off. So we got to get a bigger wrench. Anybody ever had that happen to them? And you just fought and fought with that? Sometimes you want to lift up something that's way too heavy. Sometimes the difficult task that you want to get done is to get your husband to do something. And you've got a list of things that need to be done, and you need to use a machine and some tools to get that accomplished. Sometimes there's some grease in the pan, and you need some simple soap to get it out. As we face things in this life, we need to know that God has given us some tools that we never use, that we seldom use, to help us in the times of our biggest problems in life. And the first thing that I want you to think about is the ear. And there is a phrase in the Bible that I want to share, and I want to share, and I want to share, and I want to share over and over and over again. It's that God inclines his ear towards our requests. And I hope that as we pray, we have that visual idea, that thought in our mind, that as we pray and we bring our petitions to God, he is listening, and listening intently. And when we get that in our minds, the distance between us and the Father that we think is so far away, we think that God is so far away from us that he doesn't care about our problems, and we try to do these things on our own. But when we understand that the God of this book says so often, when you pray, I turn and I listen intently, and it'll make a difference. When we get that in our minds, the work that we have in the trials and the struggles of life can become a lot easier to handle. When we understand that we have a God that listens and that we need to listen to him. We've been looking at Isaiah chapter 55, and I'd like you to open your Bibles to that passage of Scripture. And last week, we looked at the God who provided living water, and the God who provided the bread of life. He was a God that satisfies. Last week, I the final verse that I shared with you says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8, it says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you may abound in every good work. As I think about that passage, we've got work to do on this earth. As ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we have problems, we have work to do, we have a job that God has for us to share the word, to make disciples, to lay up treasures in heaven, and that's a tough job. But we have the most simple machine that will make a world of difference to help us to do our job. And that is that we can listen to God the Father, and that he will listen to us. And it's an amazing machine. And if we would learn to do those two things, I think the work and the troubles and the trials of this world are not going to disappear, they're not going to vanish, and we're still going to have to face those things, and we're still going to have problems that we have to conquer. But when we implore what God's asked us to do, the way it gets done will go a lot smoother. The way it gets done, we'll find God's grace and his mercy able to help us and to just be everything that he's claimed to be. He's a God that satisfies. I'd like us to read a couple of verses in Isaiah chapter 55, where it says in verse 3, incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make you an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Last week we were talking about how God is asking us, he's begging us to earn wages for the kingdom, to lay up treasures in heaven, to work for eternity than for the temporary of this world. And as we do this work, God says the first thing that you need to know as you are earning things for the kingdom and not wages for that which does not satisfy, he says, listen carefully. And then in verse 3, he says, incline your ear. And it says, hear, and you shall live. All through the Bible, God says he's listening to us. And here he says, if you're somebody that wants to live for the kingdom, listen to God. Because the work that we have to do here on this earth, as we serve the Lord, as we do things that'll last for eternity, it's not always easy. As we think about the fact that the Word of God tells us to help the poor and needy, and then you think about all the problems and the difficulties and the struggles that come along with that, and all the messiness, that becomes a mounting task. As you think about winning the lost and trying to win your neighbor or the person down the street, and you're like, they're not living for God. They don't want to live for God, and they seem as far away from God as possible. It seems like a task that we can't accomplish. As you look around, maybe your church or your family or your home or the trials and troubles of this life, and you just feel overwhelmed, and the job seems more than you can bear, God says, listen carefully. Turn your ear to what I have to say. Hear. Hear, and your soul shall live. And God also says that when we call out to him, he will hear, and he will answer from heaven and show us great and mighty things. So in your spiritual life, as you're living for eternity, does it feel like you're trying to lift a piano over your head? Does it feel like you're being overwhelmed with the cares and problems of this world? Maybe it's time that we started using our ears. We listen to what God has to say, and we pour out our requests to him, and we let him. And that's why I gave that example of the inclined ramp to make the job a little bit easier. Because when we take our ears and we turn them to the Savior, and we cry out to God and we pour out our requests to him, what he does is he takes his ear and he listens to us. And we need to make sure that that's a big part of our lives. I had us read Psalm 34 this morning in the responsive scripture reading, and I'd like us to turn back over to there. It was amazing as I was studying Isaiah chapter 55 and looking, I kept coming back to and kept coming back to and kept coming back to Psalm 34. And next week, I think as we move further down Isaiah chapter 55, we're going to find ourselves coming back again to Psalm 34. But in verse 8 of Psalm 34, it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." And as I was putting together Isaiah chapter 55, I said, it says a lot about hearing. It says a lot about searching after God and having a relationship with him. And I find it interesting that as we go through the scriptures, we see so often that God asks us to take our senses and to apply them to him. And if there's one thing that I've had trouble with in my life, it's really food. My wife will tell you, I'm a terrible person, and my mother will tell you, she'll be more happy to tell you than my wife. But I was always, when I was a child, I was a picky eater. I'm still a picky eater. Like, I don't like stuff just mixed up. I like to know what I'm eating and what I'm putting. And that's rough for me. And tasting new food has always been, like, they have these shows on TV where they try to get people to eat disgusting things. I would never sign up for that. Never. Not in a million years. But when I read this verse, taste and see that the Lord is good. There are so many things in this life that eventually someone would convince me to eat, and I found that I liked it. But if there's one thing that I want to do, is I want to tell people, I've been feeding on the bread of life, and I have found him to be satisfied. And please, taste and see that the Lord is good. Try him. Listen to what he has to say. Pour out your request to him. He will help you along the way. Taste and see that the Lord is good. There's a verse also in Psalm 34, verse 17. It says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit." I believe that the Word of God is sacred, that the words that the Lord gave to us are the one thing that's going to last this earth besides our souls and the image of God that He gave to us. But as I read, and then what I do in my Bible is I write my Bible. I'm not afraid to do that, because I think these pages are going to crumble just like the rest of the earth, but the words are going to last forever. And I wrote something in Psalm 34 right next to my Bible. And I wrote, "I read these words in December of 2012, on the day of the Newtown, Connecticut school shooting. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their trouble. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit." And I wrote, "God, please on this day, hear my request. You are needed in Connecticut. You are the Almighty, and you know why this has happened and what its purpose is. Will you please be with those families and help them during this day of tragedy?" And I think God, he does that so often for us as children, in days where we don't know what to do. This word has the answers. And when we don't know how we can help or how we can solve a problem, God is there to protect. He's there to help. And he's there to step in and make a difference in our world. And he will listen if we cry out to him. And I don't know what you're going through today. And I don't know what your trouble is. Maybe you feel like the chainsaw I talked about at the beginning of my message. And you feel like you have two logs that are just pinching you and you are stuck. Cry out to the Lord in your trouble. And he'll incline his ear. He'll hear you. And if you have a broken heart and a broken spirit, he will save you today. Incline your ear. I've got a verse there about God has his ear inclined, turned to us. And I'd like us to turn over in our Bibles to Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. Maybe this is a verse you need today. Maybe this is a verse that will help you as you think about, I have all these problems, and is anyone listening? And is there anyone who can help me through the troubles and trials of this world? In Psalm 116 and verse 1, it says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. Is that the verse that you can hang on to this morning? That you can grab onto and you can say, I've got troubles, God. I've got things that I need you to hear. Please, I beg you, hear me. Incline his ear to us. We ought to incline our ear to him. That last word there, as I looked in Isaiah chapter 55, again it said, listen carefully. Hear the word. Listen and live. Let's look back in Isaiah chapter 55. I should have put a bookmark there. Isaiah chapter 55, and let's read those words again. In verse 2 it says, listen carefully to me and eat what is good. In verse 3, it says, incline your ear and come to me. Also here it says, hear and you shall live. That last word, hear and live, it implies a reaction on your part. Sometimes we listen, sometimes we hear what somebody's saying and it just goes in one ear and out the other. Other times, we hear what someone says, and we don't do anything on purpose. And I often think about that. I often hear, I have a 10th grade class after gym class. Sometimes on boys' gym class days, it's a rough thing because they need to put on a couple sticks of deodorant in order to fix what's going on after gym class. But there's one thing that always happens. They come into my room and they say, Mr. Wilson, can you turn on your air conditioning? I have no windows in my room, so every day they come in and they ask, can you turn on the air conditioning? And in the summertime, I think, all right, fine, now. You know, in June and September, I'll turn on the air conditioning. And it's fine. And about 2 minutes later, there's a young lady who raises her hand. She wasn't in gym class. And she says, can you turn off the air conditioning? And so if I do that, you know what would happen 2 minutes later? There would be a young man who raises his hand and says, Mr. Wilson, could you turn on the air conditioning? Yeah. Have you ever had a class after gym class and had experience? Yep, he knows exactly what I'm talking about. And could you turn it on? Could you turn it off? Could you turn it? And sometimes, like right now, it still happens. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, boys come in from gym class, and the first thing they do is they sit down and they raise their hand, Mr. Wilson, can you turn on the air conditioning? And I say, it's February. No. And they still ask. Yeah, as many times as I've said, and see, sometimes we hear things, there's no reaction. But when it comes to this book, sometimes God says things. Call to me in your troubles. And we say, no. It says, seek the Lord. No. Call to me and I will answer. No. God says, do right. Share your faith with others. Go help the needy. Go make disciples. And we say, no. But this word here, hear and your soul shall live. Many people, they preach the word of God and they say, what you need is you need saving faith in Jesus Christ for your eternal soul. And there are some people that will sit and they'll just say, I hear it, I know what you're saying, but no. This word says, if you're going to hear and you're going to live, if you're going to listen and you're going to live, it needs a reaction. You need to do something about it. Thank the Lord that God is not like 10th graders who ask me to turn on the air conditioning, or else we'd be going, turn it on, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off. But that's not what God's asking us to do. He's saying, hear and live. And the story that I put up there, Numbers chapter 21. Let's turn in our Bibles over to Numbers 21. It's probably one you heard in growing up, but it's amazing how many times when you look in the Bible for something and you share it, someone says, I never heard that before. I think everyone has heard this story before, and I think we know what we're talking about, but we got to understand the concept that we have here in Numbers chapter 21. And I call this, when I teach a Bible class, I call this the story of Nehushtan. And you probably go, what are you talking about? Story of Nehushtan, that doesn't make any sense to me. I've never heard that before. But when we look here in the Bible and we read the story, we'll say, oh yeah, I know that story. Because it says in Numbers chapter 21 in verse 4, it says, then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the south of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. As I look at this passage, I say, these people had a problem. They were in the midst of the wilderness. And they saw the task that God had for them and in front of them and how they ought to live in this world. And they thought that they couldn't handle it, and they complained. And they brought their complaints to Moses. And God gave them the fiery serpents in their life and made life so much more uncomfortable for them. They were going to die. And this was a terrible, awful thing. But then God stepped in. And he was still going to have them go through the wilderness. They were still going to have everything that was before them. And everything wasn't going to be perfect and fine. He wasn't going to take away the wilderness. He wasn't going to take away their problems. But he gave them a simple machine that if they looked and lived, they would find salvation. But they needed to have the appropriate reaction. And as I look at this passage of Scripture, one that we've known so well, that the fiery serpents slithered into the camp and began to bite the people. I said, as we look at those fiery serpents, it could mean, I've read that it could mean one of two things. And I say, well, I think it could mean, could be one of three things. And when these snakes bit you, your body began to feel like you were on fire, like a poison running through your body. Or two, maybe as these serpents slithered into camp, maybe they were on fire. They were actually fiery serpents. I think that sounds terrifying, personally. Not a big fan of snakes, but ones on fire coming into the snake would camp would obviously terrify us all. Or three, and I say maybe this is the one that it was, maybe those snakes coming into the camp, maybe they were on fire, and when it bit you, it felt like your body was on fire as the poison. That's really terrifying if you think about it. And they came into the camp and they bit these people, and these people were in agony, and they were about to perish, about to die. And maybe that's what the problems of our life, the sin that is weighing us down and is destroying us, and us complaining about the things that are in front of us. Here they're complaining about worthless bread, and maybe we're complaining about the worthless things that are in our lives and the job that is too difficult for us to do. And maybe sin is just destroying us and discouraging us. And maybe we can echo the statements of these people. We are in so much trouble because of the things of life just weighing us down. Moses went to God, and God gave him that bronze serpent. He said, Moses, it's simple. What the people need to do is they need to look and live. They had to look. They needed a reaction. And in Isaiah chapter 55, what we looked at, when God says, hear and you will live, we have to listen and live. It involves a reaction on our part. We can't just let it come in and go, I hear you, but no. We have to actually listen and hear, and we have to have a reaction to what God is saying. And we'll live. In my Bible, I underline that three times. Looked and lived. And then I wrote in my Bible right next to it, Isaiah 55. Hear and live. And then I wrote in my Bible, Psalm 34. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Can we do those things today? Can we find God to be faithful as we look and live, as we hear and live, as we taste and see that He is good? Those don't seem like hard things that God is asking us to do, but we have to react to that. I said a moment ago that I call this the Nehushtan passage, and probably some of you are going, you're crazy, what are you talking about? The Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 18, the children of Israel kept that bronze serpent. And after a while, it became kind of an idol to them. They gave it a name. They called it Nehushtan. They gave it gifts. They prayed to it. It became an idol to them. And in the days of Hezekiah, he saw that the children of Israel, they had all these things that were becoming equal with God, and they were turning the people's attention away from the one God who could save them, and they were taking the thing that God gave as an instrument of salvation, and now they were worshiping it. And they were bringing down the God who's really saved them. The Bible says that Hezekiah took that bronze serpent and he destroyed it. He said, enough is enough. And sometimes in our life, we need God. And that's what we need more than anything else. But sometimes we take things, even good things. Because this bronze serpent was given by God for the people to look at and live. And it had good intentions. And if the people looked, they lived. But they took that thing that had good intentions, was good, and they began to worship it. To make it equal with God. And Hezekiah had to come and he had to smash it. And I don't... Maybe there's something in your life that is hindering the work that God wants you to do. And you're putting that up and equal with God, and it doesn't belong there. I've said before, I think that there are some people that might wear a cross. And if you're wearing a cross around your neck today, I'm not necessarily talking to you. A cross around your neck can be a great thing because you're wanting to be a testimony for Jesus Christ. You want people to say, why do you wear that cross around your neck? And you say, this reminds me of the Savior who died on the cross for my sins. That's the intention of why some people wear their cross around their neck. But there are some people that they wear the cross around their neck, but they forget about a relationship with Jesus Christ. There are some people that think if they do good deeds, they might earn their way to heaven. They do enough good things, go to church enough times, that's what it'll do. And they think that because Pastor Scott said, we're laying up treasures in heaven, maybe if I do enough more good than bad, then I'll make it to heaven. And my point is God's given us, who know Him, jobs to do, work to do. Sometimes it's difficult. But the key to how we are getting to heaven, where we find hope of salvation, where we find a relationship that lasts forever, is with the God who is willing to send His Son to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. And I'm begging you today, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hear what He has to say and live. Look to the Savior and find Him to be everything that satisfies. And when the problems and the trials and the work of this world comes into play, I want you to think about the distance principle. We use the distance principle all the time when it comes to like using a lever, using a fulcrum. Give it a little bit more distance and you could lift the world if you needed to, right? But when we need, and the trials and the problems and the cares of this world seem so big, I want you to think about the distance principle. Call to God in heaven. Heaven seems so far away. But the second you start calling out to that Savior, He's going to incline His ear to you, and He'll speak. And if you turn your ear to Him, it'll make all the difference in the world. So maybe He's speaking to you today. Will you turn your ear to Him? Will you listen? It takes a reaction. Maybe you need to react. Maybe you're listening today and you're like, I feel stuck. I feel like the world's trials and the pains and the sin and the everything that's on me feels more than I can handle. Cry to God. He'll listen. He wants to listen. Maybe you're like, I don't know. I don't know if I can. Listen to Him. He listens to you. You listen to Him. And you follow Him. Let's pray this morning. Dearly Father, I thank you so much that being up in heaven, you care so much about us. You care more than we could ever imagine. I pray that from your throne, that if there's someone who's pouring out their heart to you this morning, they're laying their cares, their concerns, their trials of this life at your feet, that you will turn your ear to their request, that you will hear from heaven, and that you will be faithful. You will satisfy. And help us, Lord, to do things to live for eternity. Not for the temporary, not for the present, but to live for eternity. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.